culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I gotta tell you, I hate weekends because I'm Googling over here a little bit. I hate weekends because I get all this information. So we hang up, the show's over Friday morning about 8:30, I get off. All day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. All this information comes in, and then Monday morning I get up and I got to try to figure out how to make a show out of it. So I appreciate you all being here. There's a lot of great stuff going on. Man, I'm copying and pasting something to myself here, okay? Bear with me a second. Good morning. Good morning. By the way, it's January 6th. We're going to talk about that today. Let's do this here, Coach Hank. January 6th. It's January 6th. How many years has it been? Four? 4 years? January 6th. Guy's in jail today. Bill Dunphy is, as I wake up here today and I'm griping and moaning about the snow, Bill Dunphy is in jail for doing nothing more than exercising his God-given right to be able to peaceably assemble, petition the government for redress of grievances. Pull up First Amendment, Spencer. Spencer's talking to somebody there. Pull up First Amendment. Pull it up. And the most unbelievable, I'm gonna do a little bit of a memory show here for you. I send this to you, Spencer. Okay. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law. First of all, courts don't make laws. Courts can't make a law. Courts can make a ruling, but they can't make a law. And courts cannot make a law or a ruling that violates the law. You with me? So when they say that you cannot go and protest at an abortion clinic and block the door of an abortion clinic, that's violation of your right. It's your violation of your right. And the idea that everybody's rights can be exercised at the same time, folks, that's just ludicrous. That's just absolute ludicrous. So you have the right, I have the right to speak, and you want to tell me you don't have the right? You want to tell me that my right to speak is blocked by your right to hear? You don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it, so therefore the courts rule, yeah, well, that you can't say that. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. They've done that. They've de-established Christianity and they've established atheism. Or I can show you atheism is a religion if you want to go there. Spencer, they don't believe me, Spencer. Just type it in. Is atheism a religion? Just type it in. Is secular humanism a religion? Is it? Atheism is a religion. Atheism is a religion. It's right on your screen, folks. Atheism is a religion. Almost all atheists claim that because there's no God, their own worldview is not a religion. Many of them would argue that they have a non-belief. One of the definitions of religion in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, however, is this: a cause, principle, or system of beliefs held to with ardor and faith. And atheism certainly fits that definition, and many of its adherents are quite zealous about their faith system. See, here's where we get in trouble. We think atheism is a non-belief in God. But atheism has a God. And at the center of atheism is me as God. Do you get it? So the idea that they can say that atheism separates a church and state, church meant denomination. I'm getting all over the place. I don't want to get trapped here. We need to do a lesson on it though, right? Go back to First Amendment, Spencer. January 6th. I'm going to talk about it today. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. They've already done that. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Can I go to the U.S. Capitol and pray? If Congress says I can't go to the U.S. Capitol and pray, have they violated my First Amendment right? Of course they have. I don't care what the courts ruled. I don't care what the courts ruled. Courts are wrong. Courts have prohibited the free exercise of my religion. So it says right there. Right? Or abridging the freedom of speech. Spencer, for the slow learners who cheated in social studies in the eighth grade, what does it mean to abridge? What does it mean to abridge? Because they want to abridge the freedom of speech. To abridge is to short, or its root, to make shorter, to epitomize, to contrast by using fewer words, yet retaining the sense and substance used for writings. In other words, to lessen, to diminish, to abridge. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion. Go back, Spencer. I'm jumping with you. Nope. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law shortening, abridging, legalizing, controlling the freedom of speech. That's what abridge means. And so the courts can come in because the courts are owned by the government. They are the government. And so they get to say, you can't do this. But the Constitution says they can't say that. Why? Because only Congress can make a law. Only Congress can make a law. Only Congress can make a law. That's why it says Congress shall make no law. It doesn't say courts can't make no laws. Courts can't make rules. It doesn't say that. No. Congress shall make no law regarding what? The establishment of a religion. They can't make a law prohibiting the free exercise of your religion. Can't make a law. If Bill Dunphy's religion compelled him to go to the Capitol building and preach against the government, Congress shall make no law prohibiting that, abridging that, preventing it. Anybody tracking here? So when the government got to the point where they could select judges, right? Oh, that's an Obama judge. That's a Clinton judge. That's a Bush judge. In other words, different versions of truth. And what's happened to us right now, we're in pretty good shape here because why? For the most part, the judges agree with us. But there's some of them that don't. And so the judges are the ones who get to control your freedom of speech. Hang on. Or the press. Or Spencer, sorry, got to do this. Go back to Mr. Webster and type in or. Or. Determination of Latin nouns is a contradiction of ver, amen, or from the same radix. The same word ver is in our mother tongue, ver, and from this we have the English termination er. Or, down to bottom, it's seems that or is a mere contraction of other, a connective remark. I will not eat bacon or hamburger. I will not root for the Bengals or the Baltimore Ravens. It's a connective, or. I will not root for the Bengals or the Browns or the Giants or any other football team, or. Or, okay, go back, Spence. I'm sorry if you didn't learn this in school or if you cheated. So Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. If cops stand outside the Capitol building and don't let you peacefully assemble, they are breaking the or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. So, Betty, what did they do? They made sure it wasn't peaceful. They broke windows. They fired firecrackers. They pushed over whatever. They did that because then it wasn't peaceful. And we have on video Nancy Pelosi telling us, oh, she screwed up. They should have called in the National Guard. Why didn't they call in the National Guard? They didn't like the optics of it. See, the National Guard, if they would have come, they would have protected the right of the people to peaceably assemble. But they didn't want that. They wanted a violent insurrection, even though it wasn't an insurrection and it wasn't violent. That's what they wanted, and that's what the media's told us. All right, hang on. I'm going somewhere. Well, the right of the people peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Spencer, come on. What's redress? Redress. To set right. We have the right to go say, by the way, dudes, we think they cheated in that election. We think it cheated, and we would like a redress. We would like you guys to set it straight, check it all out for us. Did they do that? No, they didn't do that. Why didn't they do that? Because they had appeared to have a violent insurrection so they could shut everything down so then they could do it later in secret. Somebody say amen is tracking with me today. It's 4 years ago.
Amen.
4 years ago
today.
Amen, Coach.
And there are men and women, particularly men, locked up in jail, have been locked up for jail, but going on 4 years, no trial. Anything except peacefully assemble the petition. Do you want to say something? Don't say something, right? Folks, you get it? Do you get it? Do you understand what's happening? Congress shall make no. Go back to the First Amendment. Congress shall not make no law against Bill Dunphy or anybody else who's exercising his religion, prohibiting free exercise thereof. Bill Dunphy, there's no law that can keep him from abridging his freedom of speech or of the press, nor can the Congress or anybody make a law that would violate his right of peacefully assemble to petition the government for complaint against him. That's what we're looking at here on January 6th. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. So I want to clarify some things with you real quickly. I'm all over the place. I'm feeling it good. Hang on. Bill Dunphy. I wrote down some names down here. Cal Zastro. Tennessee 10. It's crazy what we permitted that happen. And our elected officials will look. Are you looking at me? Will not protect you from your own government. I don't fear my neighbors. I fear my government. Somebody give me a thumbs up out there. My neighbor, I can handle if my neighbor comes over here. I can handle a dispute with my neighbor. When the FBI pulls in my driveway, how do you even fight that? When they came and they arrested Bill Dunphy, they called him. Called him early in the morning, like right now, said, hey, listen, FBI's on the way. Don't try to resist or anything like that. And he looks out there and he watches him pull in his driveway. They come in and arrest him, charge him, throw him in jail. Took him a while to do that, but they threw him in jail. Because what did they say he did? Bill Dunphy did nothing to anybody, and they accused him of what? Not being peacefully. Trying to overthrow the government. Friends, how do you overthrow government of the people, by the people, for the people? How do you do that? And so if we get to the point in America, we have no ability to petition our government for redress of grievances. I want to show you a couple of videos here. I know. Jeff, got your hand up. Go up real quickly. Folks, leave me alone here for a while. Let me make my point. Go ahead, Jeff.
Just want to let you know I sent you two pictures of peacefully assembling. If you want to send them to Jared, it's perfect for this morning.
Okay, I'll get to it here in a second. So, I was there. January 6th, my wife was there. Took 100 and some people with us. We stood in the crowd, listened to President Trump. Thank you, 130. And President Trump said, as we stood between the White House and the Capitol, the Washington Monument, and President Trump, who we couldn't even really see, had him up on the screen, asked us to peacefully and patriotically march to the White House. So we did. We peacefully protested and marched to the Capitol after he asked us to, and get up there, and what do we run into? The government shooting bullets at us. Not real bullets, rubber bullets, whatever they called them. What kind of grenades do they call those things? What kind of grenades? Anybody help me? shock grenades, whatever.
Flashbangs.
Pardon me?
Flashbangs.
Flashbangs. Shooting them into the crowd. We were peaceful. They're shooting at us. Because see, you guys don't want to believe it because you've been believing the media. So I want you to pull up number two. I found something really fascinating today. I can go to my Facebook page. Every video I've ever put on Facebook is on. I can find it. Okay, this here on the train in D.C., January 6, 2021. This is me with our band of how many male 180 some people peacefully petitioning our government for a redress agreement. Now let me stop right there because I have a video that I made live, Facebook video live from the steps of the Capitol. It's gone. It's not in my archives anymore. What if I would ever need that as evidence? What if I ever needed that video as evidence? Somebody's got it. Okay, so here we are. It's very short. On our way. Go ahead and play it.
Trying to quit.
See if we look dangerous.
Hey, good morning. Hey, how you doing there, folks? Get my glasses off here. We're on the metro here this morning. Let me flip this thing around. Show you our good hearty crew. We're taking over this train. Yeah, we've got a whole train load of them here. We got more that are coming up over the hill as well. Yeah, they're getting on down there. So here's the scoop. We're way out in Maryland. It's where we're. Oops, let me turn around. This is my wife.
Freshwater.
Pretty woman.
Michelle.
So we're out in Maryland, and we just understand the metro, which is this train that we're riding on. This tram, metro's packed down in downtown. So we made a good move by parking clear outside of town and taking a 45-minute metro ride.
Everybody, you're moving the train right now. Move. Oh, look at those terrorists! Oh my God!
Move, huh? Why, Chad? Hey, we just got the. Why, Chad?
Chad's a cop.
Moving on this train. All right.
We're getting his own other train.
Well done, America.
What made you make that decision?
Because this was going first. That's why.
Okay. Well, Chad just made a good executive decision. We're trained. Look at him coming in here. Look, it's just mom and pop America. That's what it is.
Lock him up.
You won't see Mitt Romney in here anywhere. No, you won't see him. No. You won't see. Not going to see Mitch McConnell if you're looking for those guys. No. This is red, white, and blue America here, baby. Red, white, and blue America.
Carl.
Yes. Look at him rolling in here. Look
Tracy,
at him rolling in here. Yes. Hey, listen. Raise your hand if you think all Joe Biden voters should get the vaccination first. Yeah. It's unanimous. So we got us a good crew here. Well, I'm going to have to get out of here because we're probably going to...
All six of them
raised their hand.
All six of them.
There we go. We're going to go under a tunnel.
You can cut that, okay? Hey, folks, this is what... By the thousands, groups like this went to Washington, D.C. And these are the terrorists that they told you went there to overthrow the government. Not a weapon in there. Hang on a second. Pull up number three. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, folks. We made it off the metro, and so we're walking down the sidewalk now, heading down. We're going to come down here. It's going to be like two rivers that are flowing together. When we get down here, we're going to hang a left and get into probably what is a whole bunch of people. It's still pretty early, as you know. It's only 7:30 or something like that, Mike. So
still on the show?
No, I'm doing a little live Facebook right now. So I'm going to flip you around. I'm going to show you. This is just our crew, okay? We got a crew of about 120 some that are with us. This is all
those
us.
Terrorists. Look at those terrorists.
From a lot of different places, right?
Move ahead.
None of us know
what's going to
transpire. That's where the ellipse is. That's where the president's going to be speaking. They're rolling in everywhere you look from all directions. Jared, a lot of pretty women here, man. You find yourself a girlfriend.
I know. Who wants to get married?
Scroll ahead a little bit farther. Look at those terrorists.
That's why we're here. Okay, I'm going to get you down. I'm going to show you what they call the ellipse, which is where...
Hang on. Freeze it. Hey, Spencer. Where's that First Amendment again? Can you pull that First Amendment up there again? The right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Right there it is. Right it is. Go back to the video. These are peaceful people assembling to gripe about the fact they stole the election from us. Go ahead.
The president's going to speak to us probably from the White House. It could be a Zoom meeting for all we know. But we do know that the president has promised to be there and speak. So there again, you see behind us the Washington Monument.
Look at those terrorists. Look at those guns they're carrying.
This is what they call the ellipse.
And you mean, they're there to overthrow the government, right? Hey, folks, that's what the media's told you for how long? For 4 years, that's what they told you. Here we are.
I lost my wife somewhere, which I said I wouldn't do.
No, I didn't lose. Okay, you can get it off. I'll put these in the chat. You guys can go through and you can look for all of them. Okay, now hang on a second. Let's go to Tucker. Tucker. Because they won't tell you this today. How long is this video? Not very long. It's worth watching. Here it is. Okay? This is video. We are there. People start breaking windows. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't us. It ain't those people you just saw walk. It ain't them. Go ahead, play it.
These are the pictures you've seen of January 6th. They're familiar because they've been playing on a loop on every media outlet in America for the last 2 years. There's a reason for that. But it turns out there's quite a bit of video you haven't seen. And that video tells a very different story about what happened on January 6th. More than 40,000 hours of surveillance footage from in and around the Capitol have been withheld from the public. And once you see the video, you'll understand why. Taken as a whole, the video record does not support the claim that January 6th was an insurrection. In fact, it demolishes that claim. And that's exactly why the Democratic Party and its allies in the media prevented you from seeing it. By controlling the images you were allowed to view from January 6th, they controlled how the public understood that day. They could lie about what happened, and you would never know the difference. Those lies had a purpose. They created a pretext for a federal crackdown on opponents of the Uniparty in Washington.
Our office wanted to ensure that there was shock and awe, that we could charge as many people as possible.
The first thing you notice from viewing the full video record of January 6th is just how many people entered the Capitol building that day. Hundreds and hundreds of people, possibly thousands, over the course of about 2 hours. The crowd was enormous. A small percentage of them were hooligans. They committed vandalism. You've seen their pictures again and again. But the overwhelming majority weren't. They were peaceful. They were orderly and meek. These were not insurrectionists. They were sightseers. Footage from inside the Capitol overturns the story you've heard about January 6th. Protesters queue up in neat little lines. They give each other tours outside the speaker's office. They take cheerful selfies and they smile. They're not destroying the Capitol. They obviously revere the Capitol. They're there because they believe the election was stolen from them. They believe in the system. Here's the man you've heard referred to as the QAnon shaman outside the Senate chamber. These are not rioters. These are people who wandered over from a political rally.
We will not let them silence your voices.
After the rally, they walked down Pennsylvania Avenue, where organizers had secured a federal permit to hold a legal rally on the grounds of the Capitol.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
Once at the Capitol building, things began to get chaotic. Capitol police officers fired tear gas into the crowd. A few at the front of the herd broke windows. Someone opened the doors, and many hundreds of others just walked in.
They're going to make that the story.
Of course, they did make it the story. And at the center of it, the single most famous person arrested that day was a Navy veteran from Arizona called Jacob Chansley, often referred to as the QAnon shaman.
The so-called QAnon shaman.
QAnon shaman.
Someone named Q shaman.
Jacob Chansley became the face of January 6th. A dangerous conspiracy theorist dressed in outlandish costume who led the violent insurrection to overthrow American democracy. For these crimes, Chansley was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison, far more time than many violent criminals now receive. What did Jacob Chansley do to receive this punishment? To this day, there is dispute over how Chansley got into the Capitol building. But according to our review of the internal surveillance video, it is very clear what happened once he got inside. Virtually every moment of his time inside the Capitol was caught on tape. The tapes show that Capitol Police never stopped Jacob Chansley. They helped him. They acted as his tour guides. Here's video of Chansley in the Senate chamber. Capitol Police officers take him to multiple entrances and even try to open locked doors for him. We counted at least 9 officers who were within touching distance of unarmed Jacob Chansley. Not one of them even tried to slow him down. Chansley understood that Capitol Police were his allies. Video shows him giving thanks for them in a prayer on the floor of the Senate. Watch.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for paying the inspiration needed to these police officers to allow us in this building.
Contrast the reality of what Jacob Chansley did in the Capitol building on January 6th, the indisputable facts recorded on video, some of which has never before been seen, with the depiction of Jacob Chansley that you've seen in the media for more than 2 years. He's a terrorist, they said. He should be killed.
Shoot him. Shoot him. Like, if it, you burst into the United States, if he was dressed like bin Laden, would you have shot him?
Shoot him. Shoot him. It makes you wonder, who are the violent extremists here? Not Jacob Chansley. And the video proves that. But you would never have known from the media coverage.
The people sitting in the chairs need to be sitting in a jail cell.
Chansley is in a jail cell. He's been there for months. If he was, in fact, committing such a grave crime, why didn't the officers who were standing right next to him place him under arrest? Until now, no one could even prove that even happened. But it did.
Wow, huh? Huh? Bill Dunphy sitting in jail for doing what? Peaceably assembling, petitioning his government for a redress of grievances. And can I tell you this? I don't know this to be fact. 60, 70% of Americans think he deserves it. They think he deserves it. Put on number 4 real quick. Oh, I'm not going to read that. I'll open it up. This is a very good read. It's a very good read. We are where we are today. Everything that we see going on in America, because we were, our rights were violated. Our rights were violated. And we see now that the government media complex has orchestrated this whole thing. And what else do we see? Joe Biden giving presidential medals of freedom to Liz Cheney, George Soros, not making this up, honoring those wicked, wicked people. I'll shut up. Been a half hour. Somebody come on in. Bill Dunphy's in jail. Bill Dunphy is sitting in jail. He's not the only one. Sitting in jail. For what? You want me to believe that Bill Dunphy organized and exercised and promoted and led what we saw? We're supposed to believe that? When they did nothing to prevent it, and no security there, not really, they didn't have any security there. Because friends, they didn't want the election challenged. So they turned it into a violent insurrection. I'll say this again, don't know if you know this, not one person charged with carrying a weapon on January 6th. How do you have a violent insurrection without weapons? Not one gun charge. Jeff Klein, come on.
Coach, if you want to send them over to Jeff. Yeah,
hang on a second. Hang on a second, Jeff. Yep. Hang on. I'm sorry. I want to throw this out there while I'm thinking of it. What are we going to do? Us, what are we going to do to make sure those guys get out of jail the minute Donald Trump gets in office? What are we going to do? Because if we don't bark, they ain't going to do nothing. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, we're going to bark. So if you could send them 2 pictures over the peaceful assembly, I'll tell you real quick what set it up. At 10 o'clock in the morning, we never went down to the lips. We actually stumbled onto the wrong side of the building. And normally, this is what happens when we get out in the streets. They're like, what are we going to do? So we went over where they're pulling in the gates with all the SUVs. I said, Pastor Bill, over here. We can get access to these politicians right at the gate. So we ended up on that side. Only about 20, 30 people over there, if that. He had a handful. The pictures will show he led peacefully from 10 a.m. to 2, peacefully.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He called for a violent insurrection. Don't you watch the news? You watch the news, Jeff? Violent insurrection. Go ahead.
It's about 14,000 people. And he told them hundreds and hundreds of times as he was preaching and praying, we come here to not to harm anybody, not to destroy anything. And I've told them attorneys when I finally got to talk to them recently, I said, they ought to be thanking their lucky stars, the government, that Pastor Bill was there and led them people peacefully. As we approached the steps, I shook the hands of one of the senators, that black guy from the southern states. He was a Democrat and switched over to the Republican Party. I can't think of his name. Really good guy. As we're all taking the steps, 14,000 people, I stumbled into him, shook his hand. He was not in fear for his life. He was standing right there with us watching the whole thing go down.
No, Joe, I'm sorry. Pastor Bill was leading a violent insurrection. He was on a bullhorn, and he was telling people to attack and take over the place.
That's what they say, commander of the insurrection.
Right, right. He's in jail. He's in jail today. Spencer, I sent you a couple pictures there. Send them to Jared anyway. Jeff, I'm not making fun of it. Can I tell you something, Jeff? They don't believe you. Hey, Jeff, they don't believe you. They believe the government. They believe Pelosi. They believe CNN. They believe MSNBC. They don't believe you. Even though you were there and you were an eyewitness, they don't believe you.
That crowd right there was singing the national anthem. Pastor Bill said it gave him chills. And we walked down off
our... No, he's trying to tell them to go there and burn down the building, Jeff. I'm sorry, you're lying, because I know what the government told me, and they wouldn't lie. RJ, come on in.
Yeah, hey, Coach. Morning, folks.
Morning.
So this is a grand little, you know, review and tour of what happened. And we've done a great job of doing, of showing this for the past, you know, 4 years at different occasions. Now, I want to say that the thing we're facing is a reverse of this situation, whereas we have a federal government that is now in an active role of prosecuting a new campaign of terror on the American people right now. They are running.
Yep. Come on, man.
Go ahead.
No.
Yeah. The federal
another pandemic coming. Another pandemic right on. Here come the Muslims. Come on, friends.
That's right. That's right. We've got a plandemic. It's going to be demonstrated to be official. It's low key. The media is not playing it up that much yet.
They're flying freaking drones all around the place. Huh?
It's on the way. Right?
I'm sorry, man.
So I'm sure we can come up. We're all going to be doing our best in our little circles to, you know, wake up, you know, 10 people here and, you know, maybe a guy here or there at the lunch counter.
Well, RJ, your friends don't even believe you. They don't even believe. RJ, your friends don't even believe it's a bioweapon. They don't even believe you on that. They ain't going to believe you on this because they're in jail and those guys deserve it because Lindsey Graham told us they deserve it. In fact, that one guy said they should be shot. And they wouldn't lie. They're government. See, folks, see where we are? Say, Coach, your sarcasm is thick. Yeah. Thick as our freaking head. That we allow this to go on. Bill Dunphy waking up this morning in jail.
Yeah. So what's the best strategy at this point in the game? Because we've got, what, is tomorrow the certification, or what they do, the fraud they pulled last time when
they do it on the 20th.
On the day of the inaugural?
No, today is
Electoral College, right?
When is today, Electoral College? January 6th.
Today.
Okay, so this is the day when, you know, 4 years ago, they certified a fraud. And I believe that's the Brunson case, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we need to check the status on that and then start asking questions. And we need to start asking.
RJ, you got government holding government accountable. It don't work, dude. It isn't going to work. You believe the Supreme Court? I mean, I'm praying that they are. Do you believe the Supreme Court's going to go against the Congress? What?
Hey, yeah.
Hang on. There's no constitutional right to an abortion in America anymore, and they're locking up people trying to rescue babies on a FACE Act that is no longer a valid law. Am I right or wrong? Somebody help me out there. Am I telling you the truth or not?
Amen.
The FACE Act was ruled unconstitutional. There is no FACE Act, yet they locked them up on the FACE Act anyway.
Yeah.
These are my
friends. Our biggest mistake 4 years ago was to take the battle to the Capitol, to the federal Capitol. We should have been working at the state level, doing our best, you know, to expose it.
So RJ, RJ, what are we going to do now to make sure on January 20th these guys get out of jail? What are we going to do to get them out of jail? Because they are not going to do anything if we don't force them to, right? We need to bring
If we don't take appropriate action now, that possibility is totally out the window because
RJ,
what they're doing right now.
I don't mean to interrupt you. I do it for a living. Hey, RJ, 90% of your friends think they deserved it. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, Bob, for 40 years, this didn't just happen, folks. For 40 years, Bob Schultz has spent millions of dollars trying to get the Supreme Court to rule on the government's responsibility in redress, and they won't do it. Bob Schultz, We the People, 40 years. And then they fixed his property so he can't sell property off to spend money to address this issue. This FBI, didn't happen overnight.
The FBI, whoever they are, took my video off of Facebook. It's not there anymore. Lauren.
How about we pray?
Sure.
Do more praying. Let's pray to the one who can change it, right? So lock and load. Lord God, as you've been listening this morning to the hearts of your people, to Connie Dunphy this morning as she rises, missing her husband and knowing what today means. We come to you on behalf of Pastor Dunphy and everyone that he represents. From January 6th to the Tennessee 10. So Lord God, this morning on January 6th, let them rise with the song of hope in their spirits and let them hear and see and taste and know that you are good and that your joy overflows, because that's their strength this morning, that they soon will have their jailers will release them. And that you will give Pastor Dunphy this morning the greatest message and sermon he will preach in that place that he's at. That hell will be trembling today, because the enemy thought he had him, but Jesus said, "Bill Dunphy is mine on earth as it is in heaven." And that sweet Eva Edelman, that sweet, sweet, precious child of yours, that grandma who represents so many women, we ask you, Lord God, to touch her today in such a special, sweet way that she's not ever known or seen or tasted you before, that she experiences so much hope and revival in her spirit, Lord God, and you take that weight of heaviness off of her. And the others with the Tennessee 10, Cal, and all the other ones. We come before you today and ask you to speak directly to Donald Trump, the man, not just his office that you have given him. Like David, you appointed David to take down Goliath with just 5 stones. The 5 stones that you have given Donald Trump as you put, he puts on his new armor today, and that he has declared on earth as it is in heaven, he is certified as the president of the United States of America here, January 6, 2025, that freedom from heaven, who the sun sets free, that we are free indeed, and we can all know and taste that your love overcomes fear that has paralyzed not just a nation or a person, but a world, and generation upon generation will no longer be held captive by fear, but will be released with your love that flows from heaven through Jesus Christ. Because right now, every single one of us are testifying that we overcome by the word of our testimony in the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hey, Spencer, or it is Spencer, isn't it? Pull up, I just sent it to you, Jamie Walden. I just sent it to you. I want you to, I'm going to give you, put this in the chat then, Spence. Jamie, this is, folks, this is something, man. This is something. Now, I want to, how much time I have? I want to frame this properly. Put it at 1.5 speed. You know, we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. You understand it's called the millennial reign of Christ? You understand all this rapture and all this kind of stuff, and I'm not here to argue that or debate all this stuff. All of this stuff that's going on before us leads to a 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. On earth, a new earth, a new earth. I don't know what that means, what that looks like. But that's right out of the scriptures, 1,000-year millennial reign. And Jamie did this teaching. Spencer, I put mine at about the one hour and 19 minute mark. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. This doom and gloom ain't of the Lord. It ain't of the Lord. We're going to go through some crap like we can't even imagine, but it leads to a 1,000-year millennial reign of God's church here on earth. Does anybody want to disagree with that? That's where it leads, a 1,000-year millennial reign. And in the meantime, a lot of crap going on because we are a spirit who lives in a body. We possess a soul. We're not a body. We're going to rule and reign in heavenly places on a new earth and a new heaven and a new earth. And we have the most defeatist attitude in the history of Christianity right now in America. Doom and gloom. We lose, we lose, we lose. We're out of here. Hey, let's say we are out of here. We're out of here for what? Because all the elements are going to burn up. It's all going to burn up. While we're out of here, and what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's right out of the Bible. So put it at 1.5 speed. Put this in the chat, because I would exhort all of you to watch it. I'll try to get Jamie on. He's out there in Arizona, so it's like 5 o'clock or something out there right now. This is powerful. Put it at about the hour and 19 minute mark, 1.5 speed. Folks, Christianity is a story of victory. It's a story of victory. Oh, well, stupid me. Where do I have it? That was kind of dumb. I'm sorry. Put it at the one hour mark. Now, folks, understand all of this leads up to this, right? All of this, put it at regular speed. Okay, Mel, he does talk fast. Put it at regular speed. We're not going to watch all of it. But the end result of this is, folks, we rule and reign. We rule and reign here. New heaven, new earth. That's what our theology teaches us. Go ahead.
It's me and you that I'm going to give you a nickname. I know that that's what's coming for us. I know, 1 Peter 5:10 through 11, that the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory, after you have suffered a little while, will himself, did you hear that? Will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I'm certain, 1 Peter 1:3 through 9, that in his great mercy, he has given you a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into something, into an inheritance that is spotless, unspoiled, unfading. It's going to be kept in heaven for you, and he's going to guard you by his power to it. I have been promised, Matthew 24:13, that the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I'm certain of these things. I'm certain of Isaiah 28:5-6, that in the day of the Lord, it will be like a glorious crown to those whose names are written in the book of life. Not a shame, not a reproach, not a fear, not, oh God, clawing your eyes out of your face because of what you see. He says, no, for you, it will be a glorious crown, a beautiful wreath to the remnant of my people. He will be a spirit of justice to the one who sits in judgment and a source of strength to all y'all who turn back the battle of the gates. I know that for sure. I know the Apostle Paul has reminded our hearts in 2 Timothy 4:8, now there is in store for me and for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all you who are longing for his appearing. It's a certainty. It's an immutable, immovable promise. Romans 8:16-17 makes this declaration that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. I know this to be certain. And now if we are children, then we're heirs. And if we're heirs, we're co-heirs. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. We've been promised in Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. It's so clear. I don't care what I don't know. I want to fixate on what I do know. I do know these things. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. Whatever. Whatever, bro. Do your worst. So that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days, meaning that it's limited. It has an endpoint. Be faithful unto death, and you're going to get a crown of life. I'm certain that that's true. And here's what I'm also certain of. I know Revelation 2 and 3. You want to hear it? The one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of my God. I know to the one who is victorious, they will not be hurt at all by the second death. I know that to those who are victorious, he will give some of the hidden manna, and he will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. To the one who is victorious and who does his will to the very end, he will give authority over nations. And they will rule them with an iron scepter, and they will dash into pieces like pottery, just as he received authority from his father. And he will also give them a morning star. I don't know what that is. I want a piece of that action. I know to the one who's victorious, he says, I will make them a pillar in the temple of my God, and never again will they have to leave it. You will never have to leave his presence. Never. And I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven for my God. And I will also write on them a new name. And I know that Jesus has declared, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Whosoever. I love that word. Hears my voice and opens the door. I will come in and eat with that person, with you. It's a date. It's a very intimate date. I'll come in and eat with that person. And they with me, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my father on his throne. I do know this, beloved, and there's nothing that could shake me from understanding this. Nothing. This is a certainty. I know Psalm 91 and Psalm 27 and Psalm 112 and Psalm 2. And I know Revelation 19 and I know Revelation 20. I know Revelation 21. I know the tomb is empty and that is enough for me. The end of the age of grace? Yeah. Okay. Wrap your head around that. I don't know anything about that, but I do know that the tomb is empty. And I'll tell you what, beloved, that is enough for me.
Okay, cut it off. Cut it off. It's good, huh? Good stuff. We don't even think about that. The new heaven, a new earth. What? We're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years? This crap we're going through now? We want to be raptured out of here for what? For what? What? Why? Get a martyr's crown. And you come back, dude, into this new heaven and this new earth. All evil's gone. 1,000 years. Gonna all be gone. And we're doom and gloom. This is, Jamie makes the argument in this, that we're at the end of the age. There's a shift coming. An end of the age. See, we still don't have the concept and understanding that the kingdom is already here. It's within. The kingdom of God is within. It's already here. It's not somewhere we're going. It's something that's coming. We got it backwards. Heaven's coming to earth. 1,000 years. I don't know how it works. I don't even know what it means. That's what it says. 1,000 years. Spencer, just type that in real quick. I should have done a little bit on that. 1,000-year millennial reign. Now, what does it say? Bible verse that describes, Bible verse that describes 1,000-year millennial reign is Revelation 26. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, because over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It's the last time you heard that preached. Here's some other details about the 1,000-year millennial reign. The souls of those who were beheaded for their testimony about Jesus are given back to life and rule with Christ. The resurrected will no longer be subject to death. No more death. No more death. After 1,000 years, Satan will be released from the prison. And he's going to deceive the nations into war. God will burn up the nations with fire and Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. After 1,000 years, the 1,000-year reign is a time when God's promises to Israel, the nations, the earth is going to be fulfilled. And the 1,000-year reign will be at a time when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord and the animal kingdom will be changed. Wow. Wow. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. No. Thy kingdom come. Isn't that what we pray? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven's coming to earth for 1,000 years, if my theology is right. Somebody come and rescue me. I'm out on a limb. Come on in. Somebody come in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I think you're on to something for sure. I'm in a demolition zone, so I can't focus real well, but there's probably a couple of viewpoints on where we're at. I listened to Brandon Biggs the other day, just yesterday, I think. He's the one who foresaw, he had the dream on President Trump being shot in Pennsylvania. And he's giving a picture of this as a little window of time for soul winning, okay? And then I think that's, typically, we don't, you said something about it. You don't know when the rapture actually is going to happen or the harpazo. But somewhere in here, that's going to happen. But we can't do anything about that in particular, yeah. Right? So we have souls to win, and you know, truth to stand up for.
We got to work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work.
There you go. That's right, sir.
Is that the message of our churches?
No, it's not
the message of our churches. Thy kingdom come. We pray it, but we don't act it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We don't pray it. We're going out of here. Folks, 1,000-year millennial reign here on earth, new heaven, new earth. This is what the Bible teaches us. I could go another direction. I think, that death is nothing more than sleeping. Sorry. I think death is sleeping. Why would you say that, Coach? Because when Lazarus was in his grave and Jesus showed up, they said, how long is it? He said, how long have you been in there? He said, 3 days. You can't get him out of there. It'll stink. He said, no. He ain't asleep. He ain't dead. He's asleep. Jesus said, Lazarus, hello there, dude. Woke him up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. I don't get death. I don't get the dimensions. I don't get the other world. I'm going to tell you something. It is so much not what they've been teaching us. Just the way I see it. We don't understand. See, Jesus said, if you don't understand natural things, how are you going to understand spiritual things? That's what Jesus said. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, can I read Luke 18:31?
Of course.
Then he took the 12 aside, and he said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. This is right before he was crucified that week.
Where is this, Randy? Luke what?
Luke 18:31.
Go ahead, Spencer. Luke 18:31.
Everyone has to decide what you want to futurize, what you want to put in now, past, present, and future, whatever. When you read scripture, you have to understand it has its own narrative of time. When you try to change it and you move it out of its perfect place in time, you have destroyed the word of God. Okay. And we've done that. I've done it in my life.
We all have.
Let me read it.
Go ahead, Randy.
He took the 12 aside and he said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things, put that in parentheses, all things that are written by the prophets. And then he says, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms in Luke 24:44. But he says, all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. Okay, Coach. Do we understand the fullness of that statement? I don't think we do, Coach, because we're still putting prophecies that are fulfilled, that Jesus fulfilled. We're putting them in the future, and we're going, one of these days, you know, and we just don't understand. We haven't been taught correctly, Coach, that so much of this has been fulfilled. Peter says in 2 Peter 1 that the prophecy from the prophets up to them till that day, everything they said, it was an absolute sure word of prophecy, meaning that God put it in a place and in a time to be fulfilled. And we can't change it. It has to be left where it is. And Coach, if we change it, we have destroyed that prophecy. And so much of us have put things in the future because of what we were taught, we were raised in, and we're waiting on something to be fulfilled that's already fulfilled. Coach, the 1,000 years, if you can't see it, you just can't see it. I'm sorry, but it's fulfilled, Coach. It's happening. So if people can't see that, you know, I'm sorry, they're going to still be waiting on some new earth and new heaven that's coming in the future. And that's just not what it is in context. You have to leave it in context.
Well, here's part of the problem. Most of us have only heard one opinion of theology. Folks, look, this is what gets me in trouble more than anything on this show, is all the different theological beliefs that people have. And it's not just my problem. There are 41,000 different denominations. Because we can't agree on what the Bible says. We serve a victorious king. The King of Kings, going to rule and reign forever, forever. Do we know if there are other Earths? Do we know if there are other planets? Do we know any of that stuff? Is God's domain just this little earthly? We don't know that, do we? We don't know that. Man, oh man, oh man. What a time to be alive, huh? We're in the midst of something. And I'm going to tell you this. It ain't going to be all good. It's going to lead to good. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside Paul Webb and Jack McCarthy and Jeff Klein and Al Vinnie and Randy. And it's inside the same spirit. See you tomorrow.